Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Whether we steal office supplies or an employer's time, stealing violates a prime directive from God. The Eighth Commandment tells us to respect the property rights of others. God takes note when we fail to do so. Today, more about this Eighth Commandment. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer takes us further through the Ten Commandments as he brings part two of Playing by the Rules, a look at the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal, something both employers and employees do all the time.
You employees, you can steal from your boss, not only because of what you take home at night, but you can steal from your boss because you are not giving a good day's work for what you expect at the end of the day, namely a good day's pay. That's stealing too. You know, it is said that you're supposed to work 8 hours and you're supposed to sleep 8 hours. The problem is, for some people, it's the same 8 hours. That's the difficulty. You say, well, I'm not being paid adequately. That does not justify it. It does not justify you to cheat your employer simply because he isn't fair with you, because actually you are working for Jesus Christ, who is going to give an account, to whom you're going to give an account for all of the hours that you have worked. He is your employer, and if your employer, who is paying you on earth, is being dishonest with you, God is going to have to rectify that in the day of judgment. The text says in James that he is taking note of it, and the outcry of those who have been misused has reached his ears. James chapter 5, verse 4. There's so much that could be said, I must hurry on. You can steal by what you do, employer-employee relations. And while I'm into this, let me also say a word about customers, the way you treat customers. I think, for example, of going into a garage these days. If you're from outside of the state of Illinois, I suggest that you try to get home with a car that you've got rather than have it fixed here in this state. Because I'm told that when you drive into a garage, one of the first things they do is look at the license. If you're from out of state, it's a great opportunity to fleece the person who comes in. And we all have stories to tell about how we took our car to the garage for one minor thing and discovered that there was so much wrong for it and ended up with bills of $500 or $600. That's stealing. That's stealing. That's literally highway robbery. Oh, well, I'll try better next time, but can you imagine what would happen here in the United States if God simply took the lid off and all of the cheating and the stealing in business across the line and all of the aspects of larceny, whether it has to do with payoffs or whatever, were suddenly all exposed? Would be incredible. Okay, you can break this commandment by what you take. You can break the commandment by what you do. And now hang on to your seatbelts. You can also break the commandment by what you win. By what you win. And here I'm speaking about the lottery and other forms of gambling. Shall I quickly go on to number four? It's a fourth way. My dear folks, once our society has come to the point where they must sustain their educational programs by a state lottery, the people that are bearing the burden of that expense are the least able people to do so. It has to do with poor people somehow thinking that by buying these tickets, they're going to get rich quick and that this is going to be their hope. And you have people taking money that should be spent for clothing and for children and for food, and they are giving it to the lottery, hoping that they will be able to win someone else's money. That's thievery. That's thievery. And furthermore, seldom, of course, do they win someone else's money, but that money, even though legalized, even though protected by the law, is not yours and it is not mine. It is a legal means by which people are trying to take someone else's money. And, of course, it has state sanction. Now, of course, I know someone is going to say to me, well, all of life is a gamble. Well, there's a certain way in which we can say that certain risks are involved in all investments. But the problem with gambling, the problem with the lottery, is it is totally dependent upon blind chance. Blind chance has nothing to do with sensible investments or the possibility of receiving a return based on what we might call reasonable risk. And incidentally, if you read the newspapers, you notice that there are some churches here in the Chicago area that make their money by gambling. And that's a reminder of the fact that sometimes Christendom can actually sink to the point where people are so desperate to prop up what is called God's work that they must have these kinds of forms of fundraising, even within the confines of a church. Well, I told you I should hurry on, so I will. You can break it by what you take, by what you do, by what you win, but also by what you keep, by what you keep. Here I want to speak about three areas in which we may keep money that legitimately belongs to someone else, and God would say that is stealing. For example, your relationship to friends. Money that you borrow from them, but you don't give the money back. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 21, the wicked borrows but does not return again. The wicked is the person who says, I need the money, you give it to him, you lend it to him, and even after he has money whereby he could pay the debt, he still doesn't do it because he thinks he needs it worse than his neighbor, his friend. The Bible says that if you do that, you are wicked, you are withholding that which belongs to someone else, and that is stealing. And don't tell me about the fact that it happened 20 years ago. Just because a debt is 20 years old, that doesn't mean it isn't still a debt. It doesn't make it right just because a lot of time has passed. And nor does it make it right because the person to whom you owe the money has more than you do. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and it is the wicked that borrow and do not return. So you can keep that which belongs to a friend, and that's stealing too. You can keep that which belongs to the government. I guess it's true to say that none of us enjoys paying taxes. You've seen the little sign that says they told me to pay taxes with a smile and I tried it, but they wanted my money anyway. It's very difficult sometimes. I said to my wife one time, after you fill out your income tax form, you have a good feeling as to what you know then, how a cow must feel after she's been milked. And we know that we don't necessarily delight in paying money to our government. But I want to say this to you. If you are dishonest on your income tax form, you are being dishonest in the presence of God, who says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. And God holds us accountable for our accuracy and our honesty when it comes to the government. If not, we're thieves. But you know, you can steal from a friend, you can steal from the government, but also you can steal from God. Steal from God. Turn with me in Malachi, to the book of Malachi. It's easy to find because it's the last book of the Old Testament. Notice what God says here. In Malachi chapter 3, he asks this question. It's the last book of the Old Testament, so wherever your Bible parts between old and new, look at the last page of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? I can imagine someone here saying, well, of course I would never rob God. He says, yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? I don't remember breaking into God's vault and taking money. The answer is, in tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, God says. Now, we here at the Moody Church do not lay tithing on people as a requirement. We recognize that giving is a private matter between you and God. But can you imagine God? Here it is. It is He that gives us the ability to beget wealth. It is He that gives us the clothes that are on our back. It is He that gives us health and strength and money. And He gives all of it to us freely because really it is His. And then there are people who are stingy at giving God any kind of recognition in what they have received. And they hog it all for themselves and they insult God because the text says they are robbing Him. It is actually all His. We do not even really technically possess what we claim we own. We are God's stewards. We are God's representatives. He gives it to us, and He expects to be remembered and to be worshipped and to be honored by our giving. God says, "You've robbed me." Not only do people rob God from the standpoint of money, but they also rob Him from time. He gives us time, 168 hours a week, and some people don't give God the time of day. You want to really insult God? How do you think you really can insult Him? Just ignore Him. Ignore Him. There are many people who have no recognition of God. They do not allow God to invade their lives at all. They just simply ignore God. And God says, "You are robbing me. It is I who have created you. You ought to have an allegiance to me." And many people block God out of their lives. And God says, "You're breaking the eighth commandment. You're stealing." Did you know what God required in the Old Testament of thieves? He always said that you have to pay back. Not all sins are sins for which restitution can be made. Stealing is one that can be. Restitution can be made for stealing. That's why God in the Old Testament says, pay back fourfold. And in the New Testament, when Zacchaeus was up in the tree, he was the IRS man of his day, the tax collector who'd go around, and he, of course, chiseled the accounts in such a way that he got more money than he was supposed to. He says, if I have defrauded any man, I will pay him back fourfold.
My friend, this is Pastor Luther. I want to thank you so much for listening to this ministry today. I trust that this message has been a great challenge and a great blessing and maybe also a great warning. But thank you, and share this ministry with your friends. And I'm so glad that God is calling some of you to contribute to this ministry, and the exciting news is simply this, that thanks to the generosity of some of our supporters, any gift that you give during the month of August will be doubled. Would you pray about the possibility of making this investment? You've been blessed, and as I have frequently emphasized, you've been blessed because other people have invested in this ministry. God may be calling you and saying to you, it's your turn to become involved in the ministry of Running to Win. I want to thank the many of you who listen, and thank you in advance for your prayers, for your support, and for your encouragement. Because thanks to the Running to Win family, we're making a difference.
That was Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of Playing by the Rules, a look at the eighth of the Ten Commandments. Next time, some closing thoughts on stealing from man and from God. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.